ओम भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो 6 चैप्टर 1 टेक्स्ट नंबर 7 Translation and commentary by His Divine Grace Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, Founder Acharya of ISKCON. Sri Shuka Uvacha Na Chedi Hai Va Pachiting Yatang Hasa Kritasya Kuryan Mana Ukta Panibhi Dhruvang savai pretya narakanu paiti Ye kirtita me bhavatas tikmayatana Shukadeva Goswami replied, My dear King, if before one's next death, whatever impious acts one has performed in this life with his mind, words and body are not counteracted through proper atonement, according to the description of the Manu Samhita and other Dharma Shastras, one will certainly enter the hellish planets after death and undergo terrible suffering, as I have previously described to you. Purport, Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur mentions that although Maharaj Parikshit was a pure devotee, Shukadeva Goswami did not immediately speak to him about the strength of devotional service. As stated in Bhagavad Gita, Mang chayo vyabhicharena bhakti yogena sevate sagunan samatityaitan brahma bhuyaya kalpate. Devotional service is so strong that if one fully surrenders to Krishna and takes fully to his devotional service, the reactions of his sinful life immediately stop. Elsewhere in the Gita, Lord Krishna urges that one give up all other duties and surrender to him, and he promises, Aham tvam sarva papebhyo mokshayishyami. I shall free you from all sinful reactions and give you liberation. Therefore, in response to the inquiries of Parikshit Maharaj, Shukadeva Goswami, his guru, could have immediately explained the principle of bhakti. But to test Parikshit Maharaj's intelligence, he first prescribed atonement according to Karma Kanda, the path of fruitive activities. For Karma Kanda, there are 80 authorized scriptures such as Manu Samhita, which are known as Dharma Shastras. In these scriptures, one is advised to counteract his sinful acts by performing other types of fruitive action. This was the path first recommended by Shukadeva Goswami to Maharaj Parikshit, and actually it is a fact that one who does not take to devotional service must follow the decision of these scriptures by performing pious acts to counteract his impious acts. This is known as atonement. Shishuka Uvacha Na Chedi Hai Va Pachiting Yatang Hasa Kritasya Kuryan Mana Ukta Pani Bihi Dhruvang Savai Pretya Narakanu Paiti Ye Kirtita Me Bhaktas Tikmayatanaha. Shukadeva Goswami replied, My dear King, if before one's next death, whatever impious acts one has performed in this life with his mind, words and body are not counteracted through proper atonement, according to the description of the Manu Samhita and other Dharma Shastras, one will certainly enter the hellish planets after death and undergo terrible suffering, as I have previously described to you. Where's Dadu? Host Dadu. Not here? He was telling me he was getting fed up of all these descriptions of hellish punishments in the Bhagavatam. Maybe he went on strike from the Bhagavatam class. He comes and sits here, usually. Anyway, relief for Dadu from the hellish torture of having to listen to the hellish tortures. Because now we're coming out of the description of the hellish tortures and coming into the history of the life of Ajamil, who was saved from the hellish tortures by chanting the name Narayana. He was saved. So we may wonder why this hellish Yamayatana, these descriptions are given in the Bhagavatam. Well, one reason is that it's part of the system that in any Purana there's some description of the universe will be given. And in the universe, there's also hell, which is more interesting in some ways. It's a little different. Every planet has its own different situation. That verse is there. Vasudhadi vibhuti bhinnam, Brahma Samhita describes. But every planet has its own particular characteristic. Just like on Siddha Loka, the inhabitants, they can fly, just like birds in the sky. In the Gandharva Loka, expert musicians. And even on this planet we see different places, different varieties. Just like in America, people are very intelligent for material progress. And in India, people are also intelligent, many intelligent people, but somehow or other the karma doesn't work out to make the place very organized like America. Despite so many intelligent people, the place is a complete chaos. And every different place, just like you find Italians are like that, and Germans are like that. Different places have their different characteristics. So in the hellish planets, there are different characteristics also. Some planet, the characteristic is that you can run on a hot copper plate. Now Dada won't be very happy. Some planet, you have to run on a hot copper plate with the sun beating from up and the oil burning from underneath. And other planets, you have to sit and look, and the birds are looking at you, and you're just waiting for them to come and grab your eyes. And that's not over, because then again your eyes grow and again they get taken out. So different planets have different characteristics. The characteristic of the hellish planets is a place for severe suffering. So that is there, but Shukadev Goswami is not describing simply like a school teacher. That we find in the beginning of Bhagavatam, the sages at Naimisharanya, they were asking about to Shonak, Shonak Adi Rishi, they were asking from Suta Goswami, that you please describe the activities of Parikshit Maharaj if they are in relation to Krishna. In other words, Parikshit Maharaj as a Raja, he must have had so many activities. As a king, he must have been administering the state, administering the whole planet. And there must have been so many things. Give this man punishment, give this man reward. So many things he may have wanted to do, may have done. But the Shonakadi Rishi, they were interested to hear, please describe the activities of Parikshit Maharaj as much as they are in relationship to Krishna. That was their interest. They weren't so much interested how he's administering the state, his decisions and this and that, and his social life and so many things. So the Bhagavatam, the whole of the Bhagavatam, that is meant to give us knowledge of Krishna. Knowledge of Krishna, there are different stages. Sambandha, Abhideya, Prayojan. So this is also part of the Sambandha Gyan, to know what is the situation of the universe. To know what is the situation of the universe, to know how horrible it is, and then make our decision firm to come out of this material universe, to go to Krishna. So these descriptions have been given of the hellish planets. And we see here that Parikshit Maharaj, next he's not going to ask more and more about what is the geography and how many mountains are there and how many trees are there. But he immediately comes to the point that this material world is so nasty. Then how will people be delivered from that? We see that Parikshit Maharaj, he wasn't asking, how will I be delivered? Just like Dadu may be asking, how can we be delivered from hearing the horrible descriptions of hell? Because he wants to listen to the descriptions of the stories of Krishna, which is, after all, the topmost, the essence of the Bhagavatam. But we see here that Parikshit Maharaj, he wasn't asking on his own behalf, how I will be delivered from hell. Of course, Parikshit Maharaj, he is already, from the very birth, or even before the birth, a great devotee of Krishna. He may not have been fearing for himself, if from the very womb position that Krishna had come to save him, then he may have been very confident that surely Krishna will save me. And that, of course, is one of the attitudes of the devotee. Avasya Rakibe Krishna Vishash Phala. Firm faith that Krishna will protect me. Another point is that Parikshit Maharaj, he may not have even been very concerned, even if I have to go to hell, because a pure devotee of Krishna, he's not concerned, just like we see Parikshit Maharaj. He wasn't concerned. Even he knew, now I have to die. So he didn't waste any time. He didn't try to enjoy the material world for 7 days he had left to live. He didn't lament, now I have to die. But he sat down. Now what is my duty? What is the duty of one at the time of death? He sat down to hear about Krishna. So for him anyway, as we'll find later in this canto, that verse is there in relationship with Chitraketu Maharaj, that Narayana Parasarve Nakutaschana Vipyati Swadapavaga Narakeshu Apitulyata Darshana. That a pure devotee, for him, hell, heaven, liberation, it's all the same anyway. So Parikshit Maharaj wasn't asking on his own account, but he was very interested that how will the foolish people be saved from these hellish punishments? Because it is material life means sometimes up, sometimes down, that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu described. Kabu sharge utte, kabu narake dubai. Sometimes the conditioned soul goes to heaven and sometimes he goes down to hell. So that is the natural course of life in this material world. That also Jagadananda Pandit described. That kabu sharge, kabu marte, narake ba kabu, kabu dev, kabu das, kabu dev, kabu daita, kabu das prabhu. In the course of wandering in this material world, sometimes someone goes to heaven, sometimes he goes to hell, sometimes he's on earth, sometimes he's a king, sometimes he's a Raja, sometimes he's a demon, sometimes he's a demigod, sometimes he's a servant. So this is the nature of the material world, going round and round. Sometimes up, sometimes down. So anyone in this material world, he must go to hell. It's not that everyone goes to heaven. You see in the newspapers they put, every day if you look in the newspaper you'll see, so and so, Mrs. Goenka has died, gone to her heavenly abode. Or third death anniversary of so-and-so, Mr. Gupta, lamented by his friends and well-wishers and family, gone to heaven. But there's no guarantee that he's gone to heaven. In fact, according to this verse, Shukdev Goswami says that anyone who has not counteracted his sinful activities, he must go to hell. So, maybe they're writing in the newspaper, Swag Prapta, he's gone to heaven. But there's no guarantee. He may be narak prapta. Because everyone is performing sinful activities. So everyone has to go to hell. Maybe they may go to heaven for some time and may go to hell for some time. Just like Nriga Maharaj, he was all set up for going to heaven. All his life, he was making plans how to go to heaven. He thought, today I gave away another 10 billion cows. That's another 50 billion years for me in heaven set up. So he had a big shock when he died because he ended up going to hell, becoming a lizard. So there's no guarantee. The only guarantee is that anyone who stays in this material world, he must go to hell. So Parikshit Maharaj, hearing this, he wasn't very happy. That is the nature of a Vaishnava. Paradukha dukhi. He's unhappy. Same thing, Parikshit Maharaj, he didn't say that, well, Shukadev, now we heard about the hellish planets, let's skip through a few cantos and go to the 10th canto. It's getting kind of boring listening to this hellish planets. Let's go through. But he was thinking, what about the others? How will they be saved? That we also find in the 7th canto, Prahlad Maharaj, even though he went through so much difficulty himself, but even so much difficulty he went through, but he was only thinking how to save others. So all these cantos of Bhagavatam, we have to read through. We have to hear daily. Just like Srila Prabhupada, none many of us may remember, was sitting just here in 1976, and he was lecturing on this Prahlad Maharaj stories. And devotees were saying, Hari Kesh Maharaj especially was saying, Prabhupada is just exactly in the mood of Prahlad Maharaj. Prabhupada was sitting here in Vrindavan. His mood was exactly the mood of Prahlad Maharaj, that doesn't matter what difficulty he may have to go through himself, but how to save the others. Just like Prahlad was thinking, how to save Hiranyakashipu. He wasn't thinking he's such a demon, now he's dead, let him go to hell. He was thinking how to save him. And he was thinking not only about Hiranyakashipu, he was thinking about everybody, how to save them. So this is the mood of a really advanced Vaishnava, like Parikshit Maharaj. We're reading today about Shukadev speaking to Parikshit. And we'll read about Prahlad Maharaj. We'll read about Dhruvma, very great Vaishnavas. Bhagavatam means the story of Bhagavan and the story of the Bhagavatas. Those who are the very topmost devotees. There are many, many devotees in history, unlimited. We say, Ananta Koti Vaishnava Vrinda Ki Jai. There are so many unlimited Vaishnavas. So many great Vaishnavas have lived in this Vrindavan Dham and passed away and gone back to Godhead. But who are the very great Vaishnavas who give the direction? Especially this Bhagavatam is meant for Kali Yuga. Especially in Kali Yuga, this Bhagavatam recitation that is recommended by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's representative, who is giving the Bhagavatam to the whole world on behalf of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, how is he presenting Bhagavatam? How is he understanding Bhagavatam? How is he teaching Bhagavatam? Bhagavatam is the lives of the devotees, and Prabhupada has elaborated, not only Prabhupada, all the acharyas, they elaborate on all the cantos of Bhagavatam. And this special point we're picking up, Prabhupada, as the representative of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, picked up this special, there are so many points, so many philosophical points in Bhagavatam. There's no end. Prabhupada was saying in one lecture that each shloka will take you 1 month to study. Or was he saying three? I think 3 months. 3 months to study. And there are 18,000 shlokas. So then they made some calculation how much time it would take you. And they calculated more than 300 years. So, to study, to understand one shloka, to study in detail. It's not that, well, we have the shloka today, we read it for 1 hour and then it's over, and gradually we're getting through, we get through the hellish planets part, and now we'll come to another part. And that's over. But rather we can study again and again and again. There's so much depth in every verse, even any part of Shastra. That Madhvacharya, he was explaining every name of Vishnu in the Vishnu Sahasranam, in how many different ways, 100 ways or 1,000 ways, something like that. So, Every word, Prabhupada was saying, every word is so much depth. Every word is for the benefit of the human society. There's so many philosophical points. But especially this point, Prabhupada has extracted as the essence of the Bhagavatas. The Bhagavatas means the great devotees. Prabhupada has extracted this, how to do good for others. This Parikshit Maharaj, he himself is about to leave his body or be bitten by the snake bird. And he could have counteracted the curse, but he didn't, because that gave the facility for the Bhagavatam to be spoken. Shukadev could speak for the benefit of others. So this Bhagavatam, that is meant to teach us all the different points of Vaishnava philosophy, and also not only philosophy, not just some academic study, but also it's giving us the mood of the devotees. Ultimately, what are the different philosophical points that also Prabhupada was saying in one unusual thing Prabhupada was saying in one lecture? Because Prabhupada would all, Krishna himself says in Gita that you try to understand me. Maya sakta manapata yogam yunjan varashaya asangshayang samagrangmang yatag yasati tachtrinu. Now you hear from me, try to understand me, Krishna says. But in one lecture, of course Prabhupada would always preach like this, bhaktya mama mijanati, Krishna can be known through bhakti. But in one lecture Prabhupada was saying, don't try to know about Krishna. Don't try to know about Krishna. Just love Krishna, he was saying in one lecture. So of course, to love Krishna, one has to go through many different stages, one of which is understanding how great Krishna is. That again, Prabhupada one time was talking about bhav. What is bhav? So bhav is that feeling which comes when one understands how great Krishna is. Aham sarvasya prabhavo matap sarvam prabhatate iti matva bhajante mam buddha bhava samandita. Prabhupada was explaining like this. What is that bhav, that feeling for Krishna? That feeling comes when one is fully convinced that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, from whom everything emanates. So that bhav can develop when one knows who Krishna is. That is described in Srimad Bhagavatam, but it's not just an academic study. It is also giving the mood of the devotees. So this mood was very much appreciated. This mood was very much appreciated by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who very much liked to hear the stories of Prahlad Maharaj. That mood, how we can save others. And this mood, that is the quintessence of Prabhupada's mood. In the parampara, we have to follow, as we are receiving from the acharyas, the greatest acharya who fulfilled the mission of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is Srila Prabhupada. And he gave us this mood to follow. That mood, doing good for others. Prabhupada again and again, would say that don't simply think of your own spiritual advancement. Do good for others. Vaishnava means one who does good for others. He tries to do good for others. Parikshit Maharaj is the example, Kaladmar, so many examples. The great stories in history of great devotees like Shibi Maharaj, who sacrificed their bodies, their lives, for the benefit of others. So Prabhupada gave us that example. We're reading about great devotees. We've seen in our own lives someone who gave himself completely for others. That is Srila Prabhupada. He wasn't simply interested in his own bhajan, as he used to say that I was sitting in Vrindavan very comfortably, with no anxiety. He was translating his books, sitting very nicely. But why has he come? Prabhupada described, why have I come? To do good to others. So this whole mood, Prabhupada was interested to do good to others, and he wanted to give that mood to his followers also. That mood of doing good to others, how? By distributing these books of Srila Prabhupada. By preaching the message of Krishna, distributing prasad, it's doing good to others. And practically, if we don't try to do that, if we don't take that up, then we can't do good for ourselves either. Because we are all products of kala. Then you'll find so many people, sahajiyas or sahajiya influence. They're always thinking how we can enjoy Krishna consciousness. Their idea of a good kirtan is one which is very musically proficient, in which someone sings very nicely and then maybe he falls on the ground in artificial ecstasy. And they say, oh, what ananda, how enjoyable. But that's not the point of kirtan. Kirtan means to glorify Krishna. Not that I will do kirtan and I will enjoy it myself. Of course, we're not saying that everyone should play the kartals out of time. Kirtan means that also it should be very pleasing for Krishna. But the idea is how Krishna will be pleased, not how I will be pleased. So this whole mood that Parikshit Maharaj is giving, all right, let me be bitten. He said that. Let me be bitten by the snake bird or whatever will happen. But please, you just go on glorifying Krishna. Doesn't matter that I may suffer, but let others benefit by hearing about Krishna. So that mood, if we take that up, that is the way to become spiritually advanced. If we try to think that, oh, let me sit in Vrindavan and enjoy Krishna consciousness, and we won't enjoy. As Prabhupada, he was very strong on this point. He said that anyone who thinks they can imitate a very advanced devotee, he'll simply sit and chant in a lonely place. Then he'll simply think of women and money and fall down. Therefore, Prabhupada wanted to bring devotees here. Why? So they can get some inspiration. Prabhupada said in one letter that Vrindavan is for inspiration, but our real business is all over the world. And he wanted devotees to live here also for preaching. He said, I want 25 men to stay here and live ideally. Live an ideal life, just like a Goswami. He wanted to show what is a real Goswami. Not these imitating Rupa Goswami and sitting in Gopinath Bazaar rolling biddies. Prabhupada said this, and someone may criticize me. Why are you criticizing the bridge buses? I'm simply quoting what Prabhupada said. They're imitating Rupa Goswami, dressing like him, sitting in Gopinath Bazaar and rolling biddies to make some money. So he said, we don't want this kind of Goswami. And he also criticized Goswami doesn't mean someone who sits in a temple and gets some income from marrying off his daughters. Real Goswami means one who lives an ideal life. So Prabhupada wanted that devotees by their ideal life would live here, and that would be preaching, that people would come and see that this is the real life of Krishna consciousness. The real life is not to show the deity and make some income, because they're definitely not doing that here. Showing the deity and making losses. So at least we're following that instruction of Prabhupada's, that we're not simply showing the deity and making some income. So that idea should be there, how nicely the deities are dressed, how nicely the kirtan is going on, so that people will come and get the real life of devotion, and they'll want to go back home and take that up also. So Vrindavan Center is also, it's not meant for one's own personal benefit only. That may also be, like Prabhupada said, when you're old, you come, and he told Jamuna, you come and live in Vrindavan.
But then you simply chant. But he said you won't be able to do that unless you won't be able to simply sit and chant in Vrindavan unless you spend your whole life preaching. Otherwise the mind will disturb you. So practically even the benediction to live in Vrindavan and to be so much advanced that you can sit and chant, that is a benediction. That can come when one receives the mercy of Krishna. And the way to receive the mercy of Krishna is to distribute the mercy of Krishna. Not by our own endeavor. Not that we can simply sit, now I'll sit down, I'll renounce everything, I'll renounce going on book distribution, I'll renounce preaching, and just sit. One has to get the mercy. We have to get the mercy of the previous acharyas, get the mercy of Srila Prabhupada. Then our chanting will have some meaning, and it will be successful. That Pakistan Saraswati Thakur says, that Kirtan Prabhavi Sharana Hoibe Shrikali Nirjana Shambha. He says that at the time when we have done kirtan, when we preach sufficiently, then when we are so much blessed, then we can remember Krishna. That time our chanting will be very successful. So this Bhagavatam we have to hear every day, just to get everything in focus. At least we should hear once a day Srimad Bhagavatam. Actually all the time we should hear Bhagavatam. Prabhupada is saying in Vrindavan, he was speaking in Vrindavan, he said especially here, everyone should read Srimad Bhagavatam at least 2 hours every day. So that is your tapasya. You come to Vrindavan, Vrindavan is meant for tapasya. So this is one tapasya. You read at least 2 hours every day Srimad Bhagavatam. That you do. It's not, actually that's not austerity, but that's something very enjoyable. But this we have to at least hear the Bhagavatam class every day, just to get everything in focus, because the tendency is to go out of focus. Therefore we should come every day and hear, even we may think, well, I've heard that all before. Doesn't matter, we should hear the same thing again and again and again, because our mind is saying the same old nonsense things again and again and again. Therefore, to get the right focus, Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, we are His servants, therefore we have to serve Him according to the parampara system, we're not this body. All these things we have to hear again and again and again. Prabhupada again in another lecture was saying that why are you coming and hearing the same old hackneyed thing, he used that word. The same old, Prabhupada said, I'm just speaking the same thing. That Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, you're not this body, you have to surrender to Him. Then why are you coming and hearing again and again? Prabhupada said, because you have some ruchi, because you're getting some taste for hearing this. And practically in the Bhagavatam we may see, even the same subject may be repeated. In Bhagavad Gita definitely, even though it's such a small book, the same topics are repeated. And Bhagavatam also, just like you'll find right in the 10th canto of Bhagavatam, Krishna is discussing how we're not this body. Anyone who thinks he's this body, he's an ass, Krishna says. That's then in the 10th canto. That's also 10th canto, if you want to listen to 10th canto. So, again and again and again, repeating. Why? Because this is transcendental subject matter. This is in relation to Krishna. Sambandha Jnana. We're not this body. We don't belong to this material world. This material world is created by Krishna. We have to get out of this material world. Here's some impetus to come out of this material world, to know how much suffering there is here. So this we should hear again and again and again. And those who are actually developing in Krishna consciousness, they don't think this is boring. Let's go jump up to all the leelas. I'll never listen to this again. I've heard it enough. I've had enough. I don't want to listen to this anymore. We're all this, we're not this body here. But we should hear again and again and again. Even Prabhupada, we see he's the greatest devotee, he was taking great pleasure in again and again and again and again and again speaking, you're not this body. Again and again, you'll see Prabhupada was asked questions by the newspaper reporters, and he'd just come right out, you're not this body, you have to surrender to Krishna. With great enthusiasm, again and again and again, he would repeat that you're not this body, we're a spirit soul, we're a servant of Krishna. Prabhupada was taking great pleasure in repeating that again and again and again, because he was a preacher. He knows that he was giving the medicine, just like there was one famous nurse in England, became very famous, Florence Nightingale. She became famous for doing what? Going on the battlefield and doing the same thing again and again and again. She didn't do any jugglery act or stand on her head, or she just went on the battlefield and she saw the soldiers wounded, give him an injection, maybe they didn't have injections in those days, stitch him up or whatever they used to do. Same thing again and again and again and again, month after month after month, and she became glorified for that because she was doing good for others. Even the same thing again and again and again. So same thing. Prabhupada, what was he doing? Simply going place to place and speaking the same thing again and again and again and again. You're not this body. Don't go to hell. Don't waste your life. Surrender to Krishna. Same thing again and again and again and again. And he became glorified because he was doing the work of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So we should also do that. We shouldn't become fed up or bored or now I've had enough of all this. Just again and again and again, we have to go to people and tell them again and again and again, you're not this body. You're the servant of Krishna, spirit soul, surrender to Krishna. And again, same thing. Chant Hare Krishna. It's not that, well, now we're getting fed up of singing Hare Krishna, let's sing something else. Again and again and again. Because it's transcendental. That means it's of the nature of the spiritual energy. It's not hackneyed, it's not boring. It's always fresh, always new. So we should hear this Bhagavatam again and again and again, absorb again and again and again the message of Bhagavatam, and go and speak it again and again and again to others. And this way do good for others, following in the footsteps of Srila Prabhupada, according to his wish. Go again and again and again, or even you don't have to go. Here in Vrindavan, so many people are coming. You can approach them and ask them, please chant Hare Krishna. Do good to others. That is the motto of this section of the Bhagavatam, in which Parikshit Maharaj, for the benefit of others, he is asking Shukadeva Goswami how others may be delivered. Hare Krishna. Is there any question? Balaram Prabhu is making the point that Krishna consciousness is not only taste from hearing again and again, but the taste increases as we hear more and more and more. Maybe the same thing, but the taste increases. As if we're actually advancing, then our taste for hearing about Krishna should be increasing. Anything else? Any other comment, question? Jai Srimad Bhagavatam.